Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, KALW's news director, asking for your support in KALW's spring membership campaign. Go to KALW.org and click Donate Now. We appreciate it.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. If you've read the San Francisco Chronicle in the last 15 or so years, you probably saw something unique. Once a week, the paper published an illustration called All Over Coffee that showed a fresh view of San Francisco, accompanied by words of random insight. Artist Paul Madonna made that, quote, comic strip without the comic, and he's moved on to become a successful book author and illustrator. He took an unusual path, serving as Mad Magazine's first art intern before establishing himself in San Francisco and then being forced out of his home. That's the inspiration for his new book, On to the Next Dream. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with Paul Madonna to talk about his work, and he began by asking him to read the opening passage of his book.
Imagine you're on an airplane. It's a long flight, international, crossing an ocean. It can be to anywhere. You decide. Pick someplace good, a place you love or have always dreamed of seeing. You've already boarded, stowed your luggage, fastened your seatbelt, and suffered the safety video. The plane has taken off and the cabin lights have dimmed. Maybe you've read a few pages of a novel, or maybe you've dialed up a movie, but either way, you've settled in and fallen asleep. Now everything is shaking. You open your eyes to see a stewardess with her hand on your shoulder. "Excuse me," she is saying. Her eyes are intense and hard. "You need to go," the stewardess says, and as she tugs you into the aisle, a new passenger slides into your seat. Without a word, this person kicks off their shoes, reaches into the seat back compartment, takes out the book you had started reading, and settles in. This makes you angry, but when you turn to give the stewardess a piece of your mind, she shoves you hard and you go stumbling down the aisle. You want to scream, "Wait," but then the door opens and a blast of cold air rushes in. She takes a deep breath and says, "The market has changed. We can now charge 5 times what you're paying for your seat, which means you have to get out." "But it's mid-flight," you say, "and I've already paid for my ticket." "You were only renting," she says, "and we own. This is just the way things are," and she pushes you out the door.
So how much of what you wrote is fact and how much of it's fiction?
Well, there's not a lot of fact in here. I mean, my wife and I were evicted from our flat of 10 years in the Mission, and this was 2 years ago. And it forced me to redefine my definition of success. And I think that that's sort of the most frustrating part, even now that we've landed and we've gotten resettled, is that it forced this idea of monetary success to be a higher priority. Now, you know, making a living, of course, that has always been important to me. I think that was one of my benchmarks as a professional, not just because you had fans or someone reading your work, but because you were actually able to pay your bills. You didn't have to rely on anyone else in that regard. But when I couldn't then go buy a home, it said, well, how successful are you?
Well, of course, a home in San Francisco, I mean, it's exactly, like you said, redefining success for everybody for a while now.
Exactly. And I think that's one of those absurdities. The phrase I like is that we lose miles by slipping inches. And you sort of wake up and you realize that we are living in this outrageous situation. And you didn't realize it because it happened slowly over time. So, you know, the book itself is what I would call hyperbole. You know, it's a complete absurdist novella. The things that happen, the events that happen in here just are completely outrageous.
It's kind of a tweaked fantasia of life in San Francisco.
Even darker, yeah. And that's the point. The point is really to illustrate the absurdity that I felt was going on through the eviction.
So you also separate each chapter with an image, images of some iconic San Francisco, some more hidden San Francisco. So how did you use those to help tell the story?
Well, the best way to describe that is to explain that this started with my series All Over Coffee, which ran every Sunday in the Chronicle. And it was it had gotten to a point where it was just one image and one little short story, a piece of flash fiction or a quip or some small bit of text. And the idea there was that I was presenting a scene, a mood of the city, and a mood of a story, and just allowing the reader to fill in the blanks. But what was also happening is I realized very quickly that by writing this story, I would ultimately be ending the series because it was about my relationship to San Francisco. It was about my relationship to myself, my work, everything I was doing. And there's something about change, I think, that if you try to hold on to everything else in your life exactly as it is while one thing is changing, you're going to have extreme friction. And you have to be flexible and allow some things to go. And you know, some things are going to get better because of it. You know, it's often when we hold on that we break something. And so there was this sense of, okay, I've been living my life a certain way and with a certain point of view, and now all of that is changing. And so the drawings, these sort of idyllic and timeless, moody images of San Francisco, I suddenly couldn't draw them anymore. Then when I realized that I couldn't draw the city the way that I used to, I infused these burn marks onto the drawings, and I began leaving spaces of the image undrawn and drawing these sort of burnt edges around them. And then I worked that idea into the story. And so through the course of the book, the drawings disappear because we're essentially left with nothing. And that whiteness, that empty space, could be seen as an absence, but it's also the promise of something to come.
That's Paul Madonna. His latest book is On to the Next Dream from City Lights Books. He's the creator of the longtime San Francisco Chronicle art series All Over Coffee. When did you first know you wanted to be an artist, and how did you become one?
I've known for as long as I can remember. Aside from, apparently, as my mother tells me, a short period when I was 7 when I wanted to be a truck driver. I think I saw the movie Convoy. After that short period, I was back to being an artist. How did I go about becoming one? That was endless work, really. I moved here in 1994 after I graduated college. I moved from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I just began pursuing doing my own work. I was making zines at the time, which are handmade little books. And I would leave hundreds of copies out for free all over the place. And people would pick them up and write to me. And my idea was, how do you make a living doing your own work? Well, in order for people to pay you for what you do, they first have to know it, and then they have to like it. And I thought, okay, well, my first goal is to get people to know my work. So it took me 10 years before I landed the strip in the Chronicle. And up until then, I'd been showing occasionally. You know, I'd make money here and there, but I wasn't making a full living. Those checks weren't butting up against each other every month.
Were you getting other jobs in order to pay the bills?
Yes. I worked mostly in the art industry. I worked in art shipping, and then I worked in galleries, and I worked in museums as an art installer and art preparator. But I never wanted to do artwork or writing for anybody else because I always wanted to focus on my own work.
So the Chronicle seems very much your own work.
It is, yes.
So how did you get that gig?
So at the time, this is early 2000s, like 2003, Phil Bronstein was running the Chronicle, and he was doing television ads saying the Bay Area is ripe with talent, and there's so much creativity here, and we want to do something new. And I'd been working on a long form book, and I took a break, and I'd created All Over Coffee, just sort of putting some ideas together. And it was a cartoonist friend that said, you know, you should send it to the Chronicle. And I thought it would be too odd for them. But they were trying a lot of new stuff. Every week they had new writers. They were trying different cartoonists. And I sent it to them. I remember very distinctly on a Tuesday, and on a Thursday I got a call. And they had me in a week later, and Phil said, I've been looking for something like this for a long time. And, I didn't know what it was, but something that captured the mood of the city. And what he liked about it and what the creative director liked about it and the art director was that it was unlike anything else in the paper. And that's what they were trying to do. And, I didn't actually work for the newspaper. I licensed everything to them. So I worked out of my studio. So I passed everything through an editor, ultimately it was my own work. And, they were very clear. They said, you have 6 months, and you can be out of the paper any day. We'll just see how this goes. If you have the readership, you can stay on. And it was as simple as that. And it really, it was, I called it art boot camp, because for 2 years, I woke up every day and thought this could be the last day that I have a chance to make something and put it in paper. I was publishing 4 days a week for those first 2 years. So it was just, I was just writing, drawing, editing, you know, finishing, sending off to print.
Is it exhausting or exhilarating?
It was both.
That's Paul Madonna. His latest book is On to the Next Dream from City Lights Books. He's the creator of the longtime San Francisco Chronicle art series All Over Coffee. You've made images of so many different corners of the city. What would a particularly creative day for you be like, where you would discover a spot and then allow it to bring something up in you?
Well, what's interesting is while I was working every day, the idea was really born out of taking moments in between your busy life. And it's the when we are stopped on the corner and we sort of have a moment. And I think that those moments are being taken away from our lives because we have a phone in our pocket that we can easily go to. We can distract ourselves. And on one hand, it feels very good because we can be constantly productive or constantly dialed in. And but those moments where I would just sort of take a walk, I try to take a walk every day. And it's something that I do to clear my head or to work out problems. And I think when we don't have without the absence, I'm going to use a double negative, right? Without the absence of distraction, there are thoughts that don't come. We don't hear them. It's like a loud music being played all the time. You don't hear whispers. And until you turn it off, then you can hear some other things that can only be said at a low level. And so I had this funny life where I would be getting up. I'd get up at dawn, especially in the spring and fall when the light is the most beautiful. And I would go out and I'd walk around and look for good light. Because a corner that might be, you know, beautiful at 6 a.m. isn't necessarily as beautiful to me, at least at noon, because the light would change.
So this book, you said, it kind of marks the end, like with the burn and the growing burn through the images. It kind of marks the end of All Over Coffee.
Yes.
And this book is a closure in a way for you then. Does that mean you're not going to go for your walks around the city to go draw?
I still go for my walks, but I don't draw in the same way. It's kind of a relief to not have to stop and or document or make a note and say, oh, I want to come back here and draw this. I've actually been practicing seeing something that's really beautiful, and I have that sort of moment swell up and just letting it go and say, it's okay. I don't have to draw that. And I think ultimately that's good for me because in, you know, 12 years is a significant period of time. If you think about having a job for 12 years, at least in when you're in the prime of your life, that's sort of frowned upon. You're supposed to move jobs, as far as I understand, in shorter periods than that if you want to progress, if you want to climb up. But I understood that All Over Coffee was essentially a dream come true. I got to draw and write and put it into the public eye, make a living from it, and just be able to build upon it. And I thought, okay, it's amazing. I'm lucky. I got to have a dream come true. What's even better than that? Wow, being able to go on and have another dream and be able to test that and bring that into reality. And the struggle, the beautiful struggle of being able to make a dream come true.